the text this morning kind of goes along with, I get my messages together and then I'll look and see if I can get a video that'll go along with that, a little visual thing. I think that helps us a lot. The title of the message this morning is, Where Are You Headed? Where are you headed? And we'll be looking at 2 Timothy in a verse in chapter 4. Wednesday night I was talking to our Wednesday night Bible study. We were on one topic, but I kind of had shared something I'd been thinking about with them, and I said, you know, I'm going to get a message together about that. I just didn't think it would be this soon. So if you Wednesday night folks, you'll get a double dose of what I was talking to you about the other night there, and I wanted to think about it. And I couldn't get this off my mind when I was thinking about what God would have me preach on this morning. And so this was, you know, I said, well, this must be what it is. The definition of success is, one of the definitions of success is to know your purpose in life. Think about this. What is your purpose in life? Now, I know your head's probably reeling along and think, well, maybe it's multiple things. Probably is multiple things. I know from the Christian standpoint, you know, we've been learning this, and I asked my Sunday school class, and we talk about it. You know, what should be our purpose in life? What's our goal? And the answer to that is that we glorify God. That's what God really created us. We're His creation. And whether we're acknowledging God or not in that creation, you know, mankind's on the world doing what it wants to do. There are people that acknowledge God. And as we grow in Christ, what we do, we learn this, that our whole purpose is really to glorify God. Now, and you know, it's not that we don't have jobs and there's other functions that we do in life, but through it all, we know that our purpose in life is to glorify God. Now, I want to ask you as a Christian, I want to ask you a few questions and I want you to think about them. You have to answer me, but are you doing that? In your life, can you say that, you know what, in my life, I get up every morning and the first thing I think of is that my purpose is to glorify God somehow today. One prayer that I pray, I started praying, I heard a fellow pray it at the men's prayer advance. Matter of fact, Sammy Fry. Sammy Fry used to play in John Denver's band years ago and for a little stretch. But he's gotten saved. His brother played with all kind of like Hank Jr. and all them kind of guys. He prayed for his brother. Brother finally got saved too. But this fellow, he prayed this prayer one time. He said, Lord, you know, love someone through me today. And I said, man, that is an awesome prayer right there. So I always try to pray that every day. Lord, love somebody through me today. But, you know, when you get up in the morning, you think, my goal, I have some other goals. I mean, you know, you have things you have to do. But my purpose in life today is to glorify you somehow. I want us to think about this as Christians. Are we really doing that? You know, we think about goals in life. You know, when you think about your life as you went along, you had certain goals. Young people, you think, boy, I just can't wait till I graduate from high school. That's a goal. I'm going to graduate school. Your next goal might be going to college. Your next goal might be, I want to get a good job. You might have a goal of, you know, finding a spouse, get married, raising kids. Then usually about that time you start, your goal is, well, I can't wait till retirement age. I'm going to get to my retirement age. And then, you know, we even plan farther than that. We plan for even dying. A lot of people go out and say, well, I'm going to go ahead and buy the farm, you know, that last little piece of turf that we're going to get. So we go down to the cemetery and we buy our plots and we go down to the funeral director and we say, I want to go ahead and make my funeral arrangements, get them planned where you pay for it now because it's just only going to go up, right? And so we plan for our whole life and we plan for dying. And I brought that up to the church. And then I said, but what about this? Let me ask you this. What is your goal in your Christian experience? What's your goal? You know, you say, well, you know, I got saved. You know, and well, now what? You got a goal past salvation? You know, we ought to have a goal, a life. I use this illustration with them. I said, you know, if I ask this question to 99% of the Christians in church, average Christian in church, say, what's your goal in your Christian life right now? Cricket sounds. You know, you get to thinking, and you know what the answer would be? The answer would be, well, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. That's the truth. Hadn't really thought about it. I got saved, and it was like, sometimes people look like that's the end, you know. I got to get saved. I get saved, and that's it. It's a beginning. It's not an end. Salvation is a beginning. Now it's your Christian walk. What's your goal in your Christian life? You know, they have a lot of graphs and scales. And, you know, like, you know, the chart's like for the economy. You know how it looks. It goes like that. And you know, the stock market and things, it goes up and down. And I told the class the other night, I said, listen, if you get your Christian growth line, you say, well, how's your Christian growth chart look? Flat line, right? If you're in medical terms, if you're hooked up to a life support system and they're reading your vital signs, if you got a flat line, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you something in your spiritual life. If you got a flat line, you don't have no spiritual life. I mean, it's because it's, you know, you have to progress in your Christian life. You know, there's an old saying that, you know, even a dead fish can swim downstream. You know, a dead fish can swim downstream. If you're just going with the flow of the world, and you've got no goal in your Christian life, there's not a climb. And I would say, listen, if you had a graph on your Christian life, it probably looked like the stock market graph. You know what I mean? It goes up and it goes down, but at least there's some movement there. It's not just, you know, I mean, if I got my loved one hooked up to a life support system or I'm hooked on a life support, I want to see something. I don't care if it's going down. I want it moving, man. I don't want that thing just flat. You know, I want the thing to move. And so it's the same way in our Christian life. Well, look here. I want to see. And it brings me to that question, though. Where are you headed spiritually, which would translate into where are you headed physically in the sense of, you know, life after death and those things right there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It's just one verse. And this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter. And he made this statement. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." You know, the Paul mentioned this one. He was this fellow Demas. He's a church member. And he's mentioned three times in the Bible. And the first time he's mentioned is in Philemon, and he's mentioned with Marcus, who's Mark, or Aristarchus, and Lucas, who's Luke. And he's called a fellow laborer. Okay, this guy, so get this page. Here's Demas. He's a church member. Paul calls him a fellow laborer. Now, we know the Apostle Paul, listen, he was sold out. He was serving God. I mean, man, he renounced his Pharisaic position. He renounced his people even to a certain degree. He was beaten, stoned, left for dead. I mean, all kind of things, shipwrecked. I mean, he was sold out to God, and he calls this guy a fellow laborer. Pretty good title coming from Paul. If the Apostle Paul calls you a fellow laborer, and he means a laborer in the cause of Christ. If he calls you a laborer in the cause of Christ, man, I mean, this is a good title right here. So this is a guy, we picture him, he's in the church. He's a church member, but he's not just warming the pews in the church. He's working in the church. Man, he's out there soul winning. He's leading people to Christ. Something around the church needs doing. He's doing that. He's teaching the Word of God. I mean, he's somebody that's faithful in his attendance, faithful in his service. He's giving of his time, his tithe, his talent. I mean, he's doing everything that you would expect a faithful church member to go. Not your average church member. He's a working servant, somebody active, serving God, probably involved in more than one ministry. Well, then the second time he's mentioned, it's in Colossians 4:14, and Paul's writing again, and he mentions, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." There he just says, Demas greets you. Church member, doesn't call him a fellow laborer. I don't know if we might be reading more into that than's necessary, but just to prove that for the point I'm making, we just see that he's there. You know, he's just there. Fits into the average church today, doesn't he? Huh? You know, we know what's your goal? What's your growth chart look like in Christianity? What are you doing for Christ? I'm just there. I'm there. He's there. He's still there. And then the third time is mentioned is in the verse that we read today. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. That's the last time that we hear him. He's departed. What happened to this guy? What happened to this guy? Verse 10 also gives us, the last part of verse 10 gives us a reason. Having loved this present world. In other words, he loved it more than he loved God. I heard a little phrase, man, I've been throwing it in here and there. It stuck with me. I like it. It said this. It said, love finds a way Indifference finds an excuse. Huh? Love finds a way. Indifference finds an excuse. You know, boy, a lot of times you talk to people about serving God, doing things or anything. And it's like, well, that, I got all the reason in the world. You know what? Love just finds a way. That's the truth. Love finds a way. I like that. Think about that. If you don't learn anything else today, get that in your head. Love finds a way. Indifference finds an excuse. And I want to think about Demas there. You know what? I don't think that it happened all at once. Like he was a fellow laborer in Christ one day, and the next Sunday, he's just gone. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. It hardly ever happens with anybody. He was in a process. And Paul gave us a warning here, and this is not the only place in the Bible that he does. And the reason he gave us a warning, because he knows it happens in churches. And so I want you to think, do I fit into this category? As we go through this, I want you to think, where are you at? Think about your growth graph, if you will, your spiritual growth chart, and what's your purpose in life, and what goal do you have now in your Christian life now that you're saved? I want you to think about it. He was in a process called drifting. Sometimes it's called backsliding. Little boy asked his daddy, he said, what do we call a person that leaves our church and goes to another one? He said, just a backslider, son. He said, what do we call a person that leaves another church and comes to our church? He said, that's a convert, son. that's a convert right there. We look at it from a different point of view. But Paul tells us about it. It's heading away from God. And it's a threat. It's a threat. Listen, I've been pastoring almost 20 years now. And I've seen it. Man, I've seen it. I can see the symptoms right there. I've made mental notes, and I've seen people go through some of this process I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And I tell myself, I said, they'll be out of church. They'll be out. It might take a year. It might take 6 months. It might take a year. And it's come true. It's come true more times than not. And so it's a warning about those that drift away from God, drift away from His church. So I want to tell you a few things about that. Some things to know about drifting away from God, or backsliding, if you want to use that word. It requires no effort. No effort. You know, to drift away from God, you don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, doing nothing is a pretty good sign that you're drifting away from God. That's, you know, like the dead fish illustration, right? You throw a dead one out in the middle of the James, he's going downstream. Looks like he's swimming, but he's not. He's going downstream. You don't have to do anything. And you know, the Christian experience, as I said, it's not a stagnant thing. It's not that we get to salvation, we get saved, and boom, that's it. We're at the end of the line. No, this is the beginning. Now you got to grow and you walk in your faith, and you learn about being filled with the Spirit, and you learn about loving others and serving others and finding out where your joy really comes from, and you start learning about the Word of God, this book right here. I'm going to tell you some things about the Word of God, buddy. There's no spiritual growth apart from that, and I don't know experientially about that. You've got to have the Word of God, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But, you know, like I say, you're either going forward or you're moving back. I always like the car on a hill with no brakes. You either got it running and you're going up the hill, or if you stop, you're going backwards. There's no like, oh, I just get to a certain point and I'm going to kind of hang out there for a little while, and then when I get going again, no, you're not. You're going to go back. You're going to go back, and it happens every time. It happens every time. I was telling the church the other night, you know, we might want some things in life. We say, boy, I'd like to be a revival. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like to just be a super Sunday school. I like all that. You know, I might want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger too, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to be able to do nothing and look like that. You know what? You got to get out there and pump them weights and lift them weights, and you're going to have, you know what? I mean, I'd like to have all them muscles, but you know why I don't have them? Because I'm too lazy to lift all them weights, man. Too old and too lazy. That's why I don't have them. I really used to look like that, but now I look like this because that was it. You know, we was all kids, man. They said, you know, you get them little hot rod magazines. Joe Weider was the guy back in the day. He said, look like Joe Weider. And you say, oh man, you know, you're gonna get this, and then you find out, but you gotta lift all them weight, huh? Oh man, you lifted them about twice and that was it. So you don't have to do anything to drift from God. The second thing is, drifting is an unconscious process. Not only is doing nothing, you can do nothing and drift away from God, you don't even have to think. And we like that, don't we? We don't like thinking. Thinking's hard. It is. We just don't like to think. I mean, we want the easy button. No thinking required. Just, you know, if you get something that's too hard here, honey, take care of it. Ain't that what you do, husband? Huh? Say, man, I got to read all these instructions. Hey, will you just take care of this? I told Sherry when she got out of the choir, look, I need you to do this and this while I'm gone. Thank you. Take care of that for me. There's no thinking required. You know, when you ask the average church member what their next goal in their walk with the Lord is, you know what they say? Haven't thought about it. You're not thinking about it. You know, when I was growing up, we lived down in Virginia Beach area near the bay side, and we had a boat. It wasn't a big yacht or nothing, but it was a fishing boat. We go out on it, and we got it. You know, we was all jacked up. We fished on the bay all the time. You go out the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and we fish along the bridge tunnel. You figure out which way the tide's going. The fishing's usually good right at the bridge because you got pilings and all that. So you'd figure out which way the tide's going, and you get the boat in there, and you drop your lines over, and then you kind of drift out a ways, and then usually you'd run back up there to the boat, to the bridge, and, you know, you'd fish. And sometimes you get tired of doing that, and fishing wasn't too hot anyway, and so you just let the boat keep drifting. Well, you know, when we got up right there, you get real close to the bridge, you're right here at the bridge, and the boat starts drifting away. Boy, you really notice it. I mean, you know, it's going back depending on how fast the tide's running. But as you get farther and farther away and you start getting hundreds of yards away, you know, you kind of know that you're drifting away from, but you can't see the speed of it. And then after a while, you can get so far that the bridge, for long periods of time, it'll look like it's about in the same place. It don't look like, you know, it's kind of like, but you know, all of a sudden you kind of not pay attention. You look up and say, whoa, man, you know, it gets imperceptible. And so that's the thing about it. Suddenly, you're way off. And the thing about drifting away from God, I find this in the average church or the church members is this, is people start getting away from God and they think, oh, you know, you're all right. I'm all right, I'm all right. Everybody's all right. You ever notice that? Everybody's all right, I'm all right. They're dying physically. Man, my hangnail, my kidneys, my livers, my arms broke, my back's hurting. I got, you know, all this. But you ask the spirit, I'm all right, I'm all right. Boy, if we were as conscious about our spiritual sicknesses as we are with our physical ones, boy, prayer meeting would sound a lot different on Wednesday night, wouldn't it? But see, we start drifting back, and we don't realize it. And before long, you're way off from God. You get way off, and then you got to do something about that. And then there's another thing. As you drift along, your speed kind of increases. It's gradual at first. You know, somebody will be in church, and they're doing something. Their life gets real hectic. Kids, family, job, whatever. Things get hectic. They got a lot of irons in the fire. Guess where they start trimming? Usually it's at church. You know, preacher, I just can't sing in the choir anymore because, man, I'm just so busy and, boy, life's going this and that. And boop, 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 boop. Huh? Love finds a way. Indifference finds an excuse, right? I'm doing that. And I used to teach a Sunday school class, and I used to do this. And the next thing you know, preacher, I can't do that, and I can't do that. And then what happens, you get some people, listen, there's people that are probably here that fit this category, and there's some that fit this category and are not here. It's because they're in the category. And there's some of the people out of town. But they would get to the point where, you know, they used to come Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And the next thing you notice, they kind of just dropped out of Sunday school, you know. And then a little bit, next thing you know, they're not coming on Wednesday night. That's out. And then the next thing, it's Sunday night and they're coming just on Sunday morning. And then the next step, and this is the process that I would see. I would notice it. And then the next thing you know, it's like Sunday morning starts getting sporadic. Instead of being there 4 out of 4 Sundays, they're there 3 out of 4. And then the next thing you know, it's 2 out of 4. And then the next thing you know, it's 1 out of 4. And then the next thing, they go great big long periods of time. And the next thing you know what? They're at home. You can go in Botetourt County, just randomly pick a door. If you know somebody that don't go to church, just pick a door in Botetourt County, knock on it and go up there and say, hey, how you doing? I'm from Valley View Baptist Church, you know, just inviting you out. Did you ever used to go to church? And you know what? Almost everybody in Botetourt, yeah, we used to go. We used to go, and they'll name off the church. What happened? I don't know. It's never nothing usually like, well, the preacher murdered my parent or something. I mean, it's nothing big. It's just, I don't really know what happened. You know why? Because it was imperceptible. It was slow. It was just a process where we just got out of the habit. We just quit going. That's what happens. And so it's such a dangerous thing. Drop out. Their spiritual life's out of control. And then another thing, drifting is dangerous to others. You know what collateral damage is? That's where there's damage you've done or damage that happens to you that takes other people down with you. You know what? You start collecting people as you go in your wake. Your spouses start falling out with you. Your children start falling out. Your friends start falling out. You know another thing that happens when that happens? You know it discourages your church members. And it discourages your pastor. I know you think that I never get discouraged, but that's not true. It discourages the pastor, and it robs joy. And from a pastor's standpoint, it robs him of sleep too. I'll tell you that. So it's an effective thing, and that's why Paul talked about it right here. Now I got the 4 points right here for you, 4 signs that you're drifting away from God. The very first one is departure from prayer and devotion. And I say this without, I know what I'm talking about. You show me somebody that's fallen out of church, and I can be prophetic here. I'll show you somebody that's not in the Word of God, and they're not praying. Nah. See, you're not going to pray. You're not going to, not praying like they should. I mean, you can get that old mealy mouth, now lay me down to sleep business. But I'm talking about serious praying with God. You get praying with God, God's not going to say, hey, look, I think you ought to just drop out of church. The Holy Spirit of God's not telling you that. You know, I think you ought to just go ahead and lay on the lazy boy today and watch football games. Don't worry about going to church. And your church is having church on Sunday night, but if I was you, I wouldn't go. You know, the Holy Spirit of God's not saying that. Huh? No, listen, man, the Holy Spirit of God's saying, listen, get around God's people, get around praying people, get around singing people, get around people that are godly, man, build yourself up. Huh? The Holy Spirit's not leading us. So I know that when a person's out, they're not praying, they're not in the Word of God. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. You can see it happen. I remember a lady, this happened back in the summer. I think I shared it with you, but I'll go over it again. This lady came up, and there was a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses. They came to my house. They said, man, I was in there, and a lazy boy passed out. I don't know what was going on, man. I was asleep, hair messed up, didn't have my shoes on. Lucy started barking, man, so I ran out there to see what it was. And here this guy gets out of his car, and this lady get out, you know, and I'm in my socks on the back sidewalk, hair's all sticking up. I'm the pastor. Don't worry, I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him that. But I said, they started talking to me. I said, y'all Jehovah's Witnesses, they never tell you they are. And I said, they said, yeah. And I said, well, you know, I was nice to them. I said, look, we disagree, man. I'm a Baptist and this and that. And the lady says to me, she says, oh, I used to be a Baptist. And I, you know, my brain doesn't always work that great. Y'all know that. And I didn't think fast enough. I thought about it later. I thought, boy, if she comes back, I'd have said this right here. I should have said this. I should have said, yeah, you used to be a Baptist, and I'll tell you what happened to you. You fell out of church for one reason or another. You got out there. You got backslidden in a backslidden condition. And then the cults came along and sucked you up. Because there ain't nobody, listen, there's nobody that's going to a Bible preaching church where the Word of God's being preached. They're faithful there. They're active there. And then a cult show up at the door and say, oh, they're going to convince them to go follow a lie. That don't happen. It don't happen. I should have said, yeah, you fell out. You wasn't in church. You went to a Baptist church, but you was laying at home on Sunday, and the witnesses saw you, and they come got you. I guarantee you that's what happened to you right there. That's how it works. Listen, man, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And I can tell you for a fact that if you don't get in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, I'm a preacher. I'll be honest with you right here. Do you know what? I don't wake up every morning and say, whoopee, boy, I'm going to get the Bible out and read the Bible. I'm just honest. I just don't. There's sometimes I think, man, I got a million things to do, man. But you know what? I need to read the Word of God. But I don't feel like reading the Word of God. I don't always feel like reading it either. But I need to read the Word of God. You might not feel like eating after 40 days of a fast, but you better eat because you're going to die, right? And so, see, I feel like I got to eat, you know, and I got to be filled spiritually. And if you know what? It affects me. Yeah. Sitting around preaching, you know, you get somebody say, preacher, man, I'm just not getting it here, man. I don't know what it is. I'm just not getting it. I'm not getting anything out of it. Well, what are you putting into it? Huh? You know, I'm not getting nothing out of it. I just don't feel God moving. You know, I just feel so spiritually flat in my life. I'll tell you why you feel spiritually flat in your life. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying like you ought to. You're not in the Word of God. And you're not, you know, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God. I know it's a gift of God. I know God does it. But I'm going to tell you what, you've got to be in the Word of God. It's important, man. And you know what? You can tell the difference. Get in the Word of God and you're not praying like you ought to. That's the whole problem right there. There's, you know what? There's an effort in that sense. And the results of that, you contribute less and complain more. Not content with church or Christians. That's the first sign that you're drifting away from God. You're not praying. You're not reading your Bible. The second sign is you lose your desire to witness to others. See, if you're not praying and you're not in the Word of God, listen, I guarantee you right here, another prophetic statement, you know, you don't feel like witnessing the lost. And you don't. Your children, your spouses, your parents, your loved ones. You know what? You won't even got lost loved ones. You won't even come down the altar down here and pray for them when you know they're lost and they're on the way to a Christless hell. You won't come down and pray for them. Much less, you won't even talk about the Lord to them. Won't even talk about the Lord to them. You lose your burden. When you lose your burden for the lost, you know you're drifting away from God. The third thing, the third sign is you lose your desire for church and fellowship. See, this is how it all goes together. It starts back with the Word of God. It starts back with prayer. You start complaining. You start contributing and not contributing less. And you start complaining and you find so many problems wrong with the church. You say, well, I'm just not going there down there. You know what? Listen, sometimes people have problems. Maybe they got a legitimate beef. You know what? But if they're really saved and they're in the Word, down there, they're going to find another church to go to. All these people that fall out and then for 20 years they haven't gone to church anywhere. You know what? It wasn't the church's problem. They were the problem. You know, God's not the issue. Listen, you start seeing that hit and miss, dropping out of ministries that I spoke about. Quit coming to most of the services. Quit coming to Sunday school. Quit coming to the revivals and the special nights. Man, you know, you have a revival. Your church has a revival. You got to about pay people to get them to come, man. Come down and try to get stirred up by somebody else preaching other than the man that you usually hear in the pulpit every weekend. Try to get people. But you know what it is? It's not a desire for it. I'd be getting panicky if there wasn't a desire. And you know, some of you here, you know exactly what I mean about that. You used to be faithful, but now you're not. You used to have a desire to serve God, and now nothing. You need to wake up, see? You're getting caught in the undertow. You get caught in the undertow, and after a while, you can't do anything about it. And what I'm trying to do today, I'm trying to throw you that life ring so that you can latch on and say, hey, man, pull me out. Pull me out of that current. And then the fourth sign, love of the world slowly increases. Love of the world slowly increases. That's what it said about Demas, having loved this present world. You know what? He got to looking at the things of God and looking at serving God, and he started looking at the world over here is pulling. And listen, the world's pulling on you. I know it is. I know the world pulls on you. But you start looking at it, huh? And guess what? He left. He started gravitating. You know, if you're driving, listen, they tell you when you're driving a car, right? You're driving down the road. You young people just learning how to drive. You're driving down the road, got a car coming in the other lane. Don't look at that car. Look over here in the lane where you need to be. I always concentrated. When I learned how to drive, I concentrated on the line on the outside. Stay over there. Nothing else. If I get to the very edge, there's nothing else I can do. If we hit, it's their fault. You know, but if it's not where you look, that's where you're going. Where you look, you're going to head to, if you keep staring at the other car, you're going to run into the other car. You start looking at the world, that's the way you're going to go instead of looking at Christ. That love, when the love of the world slowly increases, the love of the Lord slowly decreases. Right across the page in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, the last part says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the condition right there. See, what keeps you out from worshiping God? Think about it. They're going to have a service tonight. I'm not going to be here tonight. We're leaving, but Pastor Kahn's going to be here. Mike Kahn will be here preaching. Good preacher. Known him for years. Friend of mine. Used to head the Bible camp up. People will lay out. People won't come. What's going to keep? Well, think about it. Okay, well, I'm not coming tonight. You already got it planned. I know it. Some of you. What is keeping you from coming? What do you love more than that? This is a question. It's just a question. What do you love more than love? Then you love God. You know, what's keeping you from worshiping God? All right, preacher, you done told us. You gave us all the signs. How do we stop it? How do we stop drifting? Number one, be conscious. Be aware that, listen, Satan is using everything in his power and the world is part of it to pull us away from God. Be aware of it. Just be aware. Be conscious. And then what? Confess to God. You know that man in the Bible, he said, Lord, you know, I believe, but, and he prayed, he said, Lord, but help my unbelief. He said, I believe, I got a certain amount of belief, but he said, help my unbelief. You know why? Because he said he knew his belief wasn't where it ought to be. You know what you say? You know what? Say, you know what, preacher, I fit in here. I fit in these categories right here, so I can see some of this in myself. Just confess it to God. And then say, God, help me. You know, because you know what? Sometimes with our feelings, if you feel that way, that's the way you feel. You know what? But we can do something about it. You know, like I said, get in the Word of God, be in prayer. But ask God, just confess to God, say, God, and then pray, say, Lord, give me strength. I need some help. You know what? He kept asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know, I'm pretty fond of you. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I'm really, you know, I'm fond of you. Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord, you know, I love you. I love you. I do. But Peter was almost afraid to admit it because he had failed the Lord so many times. He almost didn't want to say, I love you, a different word that he used. agape. He didn't want to say that because he didn't trust his own self. But, you know, say, hey, Lord, I don't love you like I should. Just confess it. You know, be honest with God. First thing, you got to be honest with yourself. Don't sit around and say, well, I'm okay. Everything's okay spiritually. Okay, no. You'll never get healed. You know what? It's like the people that got it. They know something's wrong with their body, but they won't go to the doctor to find out what it is because they're afraid about what the doctor, and they just keep saying, oh, it's all right. It's all right. Got a goiter growing on the side of your head, size of a football. It's all right. It'll go away. You know, it's not all right. Go to the doctor, man. See what, you know, get them to fix it. Talk to the Lord. You know what we did when I was out in that boat, and we get out there and we say, man, we done drifted way out from the bridge. You know what we did? Started the engine, went back. You know, start the engine up and get going back towards the bridge. Start the engine up and get back, going back to God. Get in the Word of God, pray to God, make it a habit. You know what? They call it devotions. Now, the one side of that is because we're devoted to something or someone. In this case, it's God. But also to have devotions, guess what? You got to be devoted. Like I said, listen, you got to make it. It can't be that, well, you know, preacher, if I don't have nothing to do, I'm going to read my Bible in the morning if nothing comes up. I'm going to come to church next Sunday. No, listen, you got to make it up in your mind. I'm going to spend this much time at least in the Word of God every day. Challenge yourself. Listen, try it. If this don't make a difference in your life, then I'm a liar. All right? I'm a liar. I want you to, you know what, 15 minutes. Give me 15. 15 minutes every day for a month. You get in the Word of God and read the Bible 15 minutes at the start of the day. 15 minutes every day and see if it don't make a difference in your spiritual life. I'm going to see a little blip on that graph. Boop, boop. Huh? Starting to see some times of life. It's going to go off the flat line. It'll guarantee it. Try me on it. 30 days. Give me 30 days, 15 minutes a day. 30 days. You need a dollar for it, I'll give you a dollar. Huh? Do it. Give it for 30 days. See if it won't make a difference. Get some life there. Think about that. Be conscious, be devoted. Keep your eyes on Jesus off the world. Paul gave us these warnings about drifting from God. I think we need them. Not to lose our love for the Lord. He hasn't lost His love for us. And this last little thing right here, drifting, it begins in the heart, but it ends in the heart. It ends there too. Starts in the heart. It'll end in the heart. Just talk to God about it. Let's all stand.